This is Amerinds. Hi, and welcome to episode 62. My name is Arthur, and I'm a gay American now living in New Zealand. This is my last podcast for the year, so I thought I'd start today by describing what a New Zealand Christmas is like for us. Then I'll tell you a bit about my trip next week, and then after comments, I have a few special remarks. But first, about Christmas, which is, of course, just this coming week. Now, the first thing you have to know, of course, is that it's summertime, and that really affects everything. Some people go to the beach on Christmas Day, some people have barbecues, and there still are people who have a traditional roast meal of some sort, ham or turkey or those sorts of things. In our case, the family tends to get together on Christmas Day, and everybody contributes something. It might be a bit of a barbecue, might be cold ham, might be any number of things. But it isn't a traditional sit-down dinner type thing that you might find, say, in the Northern Hemisphere, where it's bloody cold, at least what I'm used to. And for many years, whoever was free or available would go up to Nigel's parents' house. And after his dad died, it became more of and his brother as well, it became more of a point of the family getting together. And it ended up becoming a kind of a tradition that whoever had just moved in the previous year, that's where we would have Christmas, which means that we've held it twice. And that sort of started kind of, not by accident exactly, but, in a family as large as Nigel's, it's inevitable that somebody's going to have moved during the course of the year, probably. But that's sort of how it's been decided. So this year it's being held at Nigel's sister's house here in Auckland, not far from where we live. And we're having Christmas Eve at our house with whatever family's in town at the time, like his mom is home, his sister and niece. And also some friends are going to come by. We'll just probably have a barbecue and some karaoke. And that's pretty much going to be it on Christmas Eve. And then, of course, the next day, Christmas Day, is over at Nigel's sister's house. And the day after that is Boxing Day. And that's when I leave on my trip to the U.S., but I'll talk about that in a minute. As I said, it being a summer holiday, that means certain things that a lot of people are outside. They might play cricket out in the park or whatever. They might go to the beach, as I said. But it also is influenced by the fact that Christmas Day and Boxing Day, 25th and 26th, as well as January 1st and 2nd, are all public holidays, and a lot of things are closed in those days. And apparently, one time, New Zealand basically shut its doors for all of January as people took off for the beach or whatever on their annual holidays. Now that's less common because people tend to take more breaks during the year, but still it's really common for people to take off the days between Christmas and New Year's to get a longer break. And why wouldn't you? I mean, you've got four public holidays there. It just stands to reason you'd take the days off in between and have a longer break and not have to use so many of your annual leave days. Now, all workers in New Zealand get a minimum of 4 weeks annual leave, and that's on top of the public holidays and those sorts of things, of course. Now, Christmas, Boxing Day, New Year's, and the day after New Year's are unique in some ways, in that if they fall on a weekend, the observance is moved to the following Monday and or Tuesday. And Tuesday, possibly. So, for example, if Christmas and Boxing Day are Saturday and Sunday, then you also get Monday and Tuesday off, so you still get your 4 days. And the only time that doesn't happen, of course, is if it's, like this year, it's a Tuesday and Wednesday. So Monday, Christmas Eve, is actually a work day for many people. Then they're off Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday are work days again, then the weekend, and so on. This is the arrangement that I don't like when there's an actual workday stuck in there. Although, as it happens, of course, Nigel's off. His last day was Friday, and he doesn't go back until, just pull up the calendar, he doesn't go back until January 14th. However, of course, I'm going to be in the U.S. for basically 2 weeks of that time, so I'm not too happy about that, I have to admit, but never mind. Anyway, that's a little bit about what our Christmas is going to be like. Now, one of the things that's quite common this time of year is that there will be a lot of office parties and what we call work dues, which is basically a Christmas party put on by the company that you work for. Now, I didn't go to the one at the part-time job because, well, I'm only there one day a week, and I just didn't really want to drive all the way over to the city to join them in the party, so I didn't go. But they held a departmental one on Thursday, which was the last day that everybody was all going to be there. And they brought in some pizzas from Hell Pizza, actually, which I've blogged about in the past. And they had wine and beer and soft drinks. Now, it's one thing that American expats tend to notice about New Zealand when they start working within New Zealand, and that's that this sort of thing happens. It used to be far more common in the old days to have a drinks cabinet, and after work on a Friday, people would stay around, have a few beers, maybe a few wines, and then go home. It doesn't happen quite as much as it used to. Nowadays, they might all go down to the pub for a couple of drinks after work, but it's less likely to happen on the premises anymore, unless it's a holiday like this, break just before you break up for the year. And that's the way it was in this case. Now, as it happens, I didn't have any of the wine because I didn't want to risk it going to my head, because this was about 1:30, something like that, when they started, and finished up about 2 or 2:30. So it's basically an hour. And I still had work to do, and of course I had to drive home in the evening, so I wasn't going to risk getting impaired. So I ended up just having a couple of light beers, which are about half the strength of a normal beer. And that was it. Of course, lots of pizza, so there was no risk that I was going to get even tipsy, which of course I didn't. But it is something, I think because of my background, that it still makes me feel somewhat uncomfortable to be having an alcoholic beverage of any sort at the workplace. It just doesn't seem right somehow. I don't know. It's all in my head, because the others are quite comfortable with it. And some were very, very comfortable with having drinks. But that sort of thing is common. And all these endless parties and work dues and things like that is part of the reason why this is often called the silly season here in New Zealand. But one thing that is different, well, I should probably say another thing that's different from what I experienced in America, is the shopping is completely different. It doesn't start off with that big one day in November, for instance. It builds up slowly over time and continues on. We don't have the crazy store hours that you have in America. And it all pretty much winds down. Boxing Day tends to be a big shopping day in New Zealand, 26th of December, because there are a lot of stores have sales, clearance sales and things. And so that does tend to be a big day, like in the U.S. Probably not as big, but big. But what happens, what tends to happen, particularly in Auckland, is that a lot of people clear out. Traditionally, a lot of people leave on Boxing Day to head off for the rest of their holidays. Some people will leave beforehand, like in this year, because there's just the Monday in between. A lot of people would have left on Friday or today. But what that means is that Auckland basically empties out for a good week to 10 days or so. And it makes the city heavenly. You can get around easily. There's no traffic. There's no congestion. It is fantastic. It's the best time of year to be in Auckland. So if you're ever planning a trip to Auckland, try to arrange it around New Year's, because believe me, it is fantastic. And where they tend to go, some people will go visit relatives. Some people might go to a campground somewhere. And some people have vacation homes. Now, in the North Island, we call that a batch, which is derived from the word bachelor. And I presume that's because it used to be accommodation for single men or something like that. I don't know. But we call them a batch. In the South Island, they're called a crib. And in the old days, they used to just basically be little more than a shack, maybe a two-room shack or three-room. And the family would gather there and live very rustic. It was like camping, but without the tent. Nowadays, vacation homes are very often really quite elaborate, and you could live in them year-round because they have all of the modern conveniences and fully insulated and all those kinds of things. We've even thought from time to time, well, maybe we should invest in a vacation home with maybe a couple of the other relatives or something. And so we'd all have some place we could go stay from time to time, just to get away from everything. Not necessarily too far away, but far away enough that it's, you get away and just have time to relax. But of course, that hasn't happened yet. But it is still really quite common for people to go away. And I presume that's true in other regions. I don't know if that's true in other regions of New Zealand, but it's definitely true in Auckland. And it really makes it quite a nice time to be here, as I said. And that's another reason I'm upset about going to Chicago now, because I'm going to miss pretty much all of that. Oh, well. Yeah, there you go. But one other last feature I wanted to tell you about Christmas in New Zealand, is a tree. And it's called the Pohutukawa. Now, there is a photo on my blog on the post for Christmas of last year. I haven't done a new photo this year. And it's a native tree. It's primarily a coastal species. It prefers coastal areas. And it puts out these bright red bottle brush-like flowers, blooms, sometime around Christmas. So it's also known as the New Zealand Christmas tree. Now, you can't harvest the blooms. The wives of the early English colonists tried cutting the blooms and putting them in vases for Christmas, and it didn't work because the little red needle-like things just fell off immediately as soon as the branch was cut. But it makes for a spectacular sight, especially along the seashore. In areas, there's an area of Auckland called Tamaki Drive, and they line the massive old Pohutukawas along there, and when they're in bloom, it's just absolutely magic to see this crimson color woven in among the dark green of the leaves. It's just beautiful. And that's another good reason to be here this time of year. But the bloom date does vary. Sometimes it's early in December, sometimes it's right at Christmas. It depends on the weather and things like that. But that should give you a bit of an idea about what Christmas is like, for us in particular, but also for many other New Zealanders. It's way different from anything I ever experienced in Chicago, certainly, because there's no cold, no snow. We don't decorate very much, Nigel and I, and we don't give each other presents for Christmas anymore, partly because during the course of the year, if there's something we want, we just buy it. We don't wait or anything like that. So it seems a bit silly to, you know, buy a special present. Because we're not really material in that way anyway. But, you know, we'd rather just spend time together than to spend money on a gift. And so we don't. We just don't get into that. I mean, I prefer to buy a birthday present more than a Christmas present. And some of that is, I suppose, because Christmas itself doesn't have any particular appeal for me anymore. And some of it is just that we're just not into it. I don't know. It's just the way we are. So that's it for Christmas. That's basically what I wanted to tell you about. By all means, feel free to ask any questions you want in my blog, but be aware that I may not actually be able to answer those questions until the new year. But if you want to know more about anything, by all means, feel free to ask. This year, I actually got a couple of Christmas cards. Speaking of Christmas, one was from Archer, and another was from listener Nancy in Japan. And I'd like to thank both of them very much for the cards. It made my day when I got them. I was on my way to the part-time job when I picked them up, actually. So that made that somehow a little bit more bearable. Now, as I said, on Boxing Day, December 26th, I'll be boarding a plane bound for Chicago. And I am not exactly thrilled about this whole series of events. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing friends and family, but the reason for this trip to deal with the stuff I left behind is not the reason I'd want to be going, and I certainly, under normal circumstances, would not want to be going this time of year, because it's crazy, it's bloody cold, and I hate cold weather, but you deal with what you've got, and that's the way it is. I can't change anything about the past. I can't change the circumstances. So I'm just going to go ahead and deal with it. In order to go, I had to renew my U.S. passport, which had expired. And they must be processed overseas. I don't think they send them back to America to be processed. But they tell you it'll be 5 to 7 days. It tells you on the website. And I spoke to two different people at the American consulate. They both told me the same thing. So I went in last week on Wednesday with all my bits and pieces. I didn't have to go in person, but I did anyway, just so they could have a quick look at it and make sure everything was okay. And one of the things that I had to do is on the application form, you have to strike out anything that's not appropriate anymore, that you can't swear to. And in my case, it was that I've become a naturalized citizen of New Zealand and sworn an oath to New Zealand. So I had to strike that out, and I had to attach an explanatory letter. And they said it's not really needed at this stage. It's just in case it becomes an issue at some future time. So I did that, but I also added a line, which is something I've said in this podcast, and I've said it to family and friends and emails, even on the blog, and that is that I would never do anything to deliberately endanger my U.S. citizenship. And I did that on purpose, just in case it does, there is an issue down the road, because you don't know what future Congresses might do. They might change the rules. And I just wanted to be able to, or future administrations for that matter, they may suddenly decide the law says something different. So I just decided I better get my ducks in a row, just in case. Well, that was on Wednesday. And the U.S. consulate is in the building that's shared with Citigroup and here in Auckland, down by the waterfront. And you go in there and you go up, and then you have to pass through a metal detector first, which is not uncommon. There's a guard there. I don't remember if the guard was armed or not, but you're not allowed to bring anything into the actual consulate itself. You have to hand over your keys and your cell phone and turn the cell phone off before you're allowed to enter. And I have no idea why. I mean, I've heard of cell phones being used to detonate bombs, but I would have thought you would have needed the bomb with it in order to do that. But anyway, that's what you had to do. So then went in there, and there's one window for U.S. citizens, and all the other windows were for non-citizens getting various kinds of visas and permits and things. So I waited, and eventually I got it all sorted, and then left. It was probably half an hour, maybe 45 minutes tops. And the guard wasn't there. He was dealing with something else, some air conditioning. It was a contracting company, and he looked like a big Samoan guy. And so I got my stuff back, and I left, and that was that. This was, of course, Wednesday before they closed. And that particular day, I mean, I didn't even have the photos at that stage. I downloaded the form from the web and filled it out as a PDF that, you know, that you can fill out on screen. And I'd done all that. And I went up to the local shops, into a camera shop, and I got my passport photos taken. But I was thinking, oh, geez, you know, what if they're not right? That's why I thought I should go in person. And I looked at the clock and think, oh, I'll never make it. Came back home and checked their hours. Oh, yep, I can do it. So I rushed in there and I did that. And because I didn't want to wait I didn't want to even wait one day. So I did that and then waited. And I didn't think about it for the rest of the week. And then on Monday, I thought, oh, it's probably a bit early. But I left a courier bag with them so that they would ship it to me. And I started entering the number online. That on Monday, I think it was, to check to see if it had been sent, and it hadn't. And I checked a couple times on Monday, and I thought, well, it's just Monday. Then I tried Tuesday, nothing. Tried Wednesday, nothing. I'm thinking, they said 5 to 7 days, and the lady at the counter at the consulate said, you'll have it within 7 days. And it got to be Thursday, and I go off to the part-time job, and I check when I got there, nothing. I check around a couple times during the day, during the morning, nothing. And then in the early afternoon, I checked again, after this little party thing, and it said it had been collected at 3:40 p.m. that day. I was like, oh, thank God. So that was that one day, and that was my day, and I came home. And the next morning, I checked to see its status, and it said it had been collected from the depot at 6:36 a.m. or something like that. And I think, oh, okay, so it'll be delivered, and it wasn't showing up. Now, this is Christmas, of course, and they're making a lot of deliveries, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what if it's delayed a whole day? What if it's delayed more? And but they ended up showing up, oh, it must have been about noon, maybe slightly after. And, of course, everything was perfect. It was all right. Big change from my last passport, I'll tell you. Well, not just the blue color on the outside, but a lot of blue on the inside, too. But, so that's all sorted. I finally have that. I've got all the other bits and pieces I need. And I've made some arrangements for things to happen when I get to Chicago. So that's pretty much all done now. And I just now have to, I don't have to really do anything except pack between now and when I leave on Wednesday. I was just actually looking to see what the schedule is. I'm going to rustle some papers, so you have to excuse me for a minute here. So I was moving some papers around this morning, and I accidentally buried my itinerary. So I hope you'll forgive this rustling, because I just had it here. Oh, there it is. It's in the wrong pile. I leave at 7:15 p.m., and I arrive at 7 p.m. Is that right? Is this that's the trip back. I leave at 7:15 p.m. on Wednesday the 26th, and arrive in Chicago at 7:04 p.m. on December 26th. That's 11 minutes before I left. Ah, the miracles of time zones, eh? It's one of those really weird things about when you're traveling east across the international dateline. Obviously, you pick up a day, but also even with having a layover at Los Angeles, which I think is just to allow you to get through customs and all that, I end up arriving in Chicago before I left, technically speaking. So that's kind of weird. But the bad side of that is when I leave on Monday the 7th at 3:05 p.m. and I don't arrive in Auckland until Wednesday the 9th at 5:10 a.m. So I lose a day in that process, and that's going to be pretty disgusting, but never mind. I suppose you could say I get my day back or something. I don't know. Anyway, so that's the trip. The trip all done and dusted. Well, it's not done and dusted yet, but it's all arranged, certainly. And let's see. Well, before I talk about comments, there are a couple things I wanted to tell you about. First of all, in the new year, I'm hoping to upgrade my sound. Now, in general, I've been reasonably happy with the quality of the sound, except for one thing. Anytime I move my head, you might hear this noise. And just in case you don't. And that's because the cord for my headset comes out of the same side as the mic, and I don't actually touch it. I'm not, you know, like touching the mic cord like that. What's happening is that I just move my head as I'm talking, and it rubs against my clothes or the chair or whatever and makes a noise. And it annoys me. So I'm going to fix that in the new year and hopefully have a better sound. But that's coming up in the new year. And I also wanted to also talk a little bit about this iTunes reviews. Now, in the past two episodes, I played that fake public service announcement about leaving iTunes reviews. And I actually got a legitimate question about that. I mean, a serious question, not a joking one, about the best way to find a podcast on iTunes if you want to leave a review. And there's a couple ways you can do it. One is if you go to launch your iTunes, go to iTunes Store, and there's a little box in the upper right, search iTunes Store. You can enter, like in my case, enter Amerinz, Amerinz, and hit return, and it will take you to everything that's got Amer in it. And if you're in the U.S., which is where most of my listeners are, my podcast will probably be listed as the first result down at the bottom, where it just has a list of results. And if you go a couple things over and click on the little arrow, it'll take you to the page specifically for my podcast. Now, there's another way to do it that doesn't involve searching. If you go to the iTunes Store and you click on Podcasts, which is that little box in the upper left-hand corner, and then when it gets to Podcasts, you can click on the category Society and Culture, and then it'll redraw the screen again, and then you can click on a subcategory of Personal Journals. Now, the first page that comes out has the 15 top-ranked podcasts by whatever voodoo magic Apple uses to come up with that. I'm not on that page. But if you click on See All, and you'll see that in the upper right-hand corner of that box with all the podcast badges, I'll be on that one down towards the bottom somewhere. And if you click on the name of that, we see Amerinz Podcast, you click on that, and that will also take you to the place where the reviews are. And obviously, I would love for you to leave me a 5-star review. I checked earlier today, and I have 10 at the moment, which is fantastic. Thank you all very much. But if you don't want to leave a review, that's fine. But I would appreciate it if you would click on the little thing that says, was this review helpful? And if you click yes for each one, that would help as well, because it will mean that more listeners have found the reviews helpful to them. But my first initial goal, when I first mentioned this a long time ago, was that if somebody did a search for my podcast in the U.S. store, I wanted my podcast to be listed higher than it was, because it was like 20th or something on the list, buried underneath all these karaoke things. And what I've been checking lately, it's been listed first. So clearly the reviews have helped. And it would be nice if I could get onto the first page of the Personal Journals podcasts. At the moment, Eric, the Southern Boy, is taking up two positions there. And I've teased him about that. But that's kind of beside the point. Mainly, I just want to sort of preserve where I'm at, being listed number one on the search results. Although, as I say, it would be nice to be listed on the first page, because then just sort of casual browsers might run across the thing as well. So that's all I wanted to say about iTunes. I wanted to explain a little bit more about how you can go about doing that. Now, I would like to go on over and talk about the comments. And I have to click on a few things, so I hope you'll forgive that. And this is at my blog, amrins.com. And the comment is from Archer, who says, another great political... This is about episode 61, Tuesday's episode, called Election Time Begins. And the comment is from Archer, who said, another great political discussion. Sorry I couldn't join you. I meant to comment earlier, but this one inspired me to do my podcast about introductions to the Democrats. Thanks. And I had talked with Archer about possibly joining Jason and me for that episode, but we were recording it on Sunday in the U.S., Sunday time in the U.S., and Archer was going to be at the boyfriend's, and so I thought it was unlikely he'd be home in time. But it was possible. And, well, first, what I said in response was, it would have been great to have you join us, but I'm sure there will be plenty of other chances. It was a great idea to do the Democratic candidates' introductions. Provides another layer of information. And that is my intention, is after I get back to New Zealand, to organize more discussions about the elections as they're unfolding, and involving some more people, including Archer, because as you know, Archer is really big on politics, and I think it'd be great for him to join us, and maybe some others as well. And if any of you are interested in joining this little panel discussion, it'll be small to keep it from getting too Skypey. By all means, drop me an email at amrins@yahoo.com, and we'll see if we can't arrange something. But anyone's welcome. Just let me know if you'd like to be a part of it. I may specifically try to find some others who would want to participate, but if you're quite keen, you know, don't be shy. The only requirement is you have to have Skype and some sort of broadband connection so that we can actually talk to you. But beyond that, you know, anything goes. And the next comment was over at the Podomatic site, which is amrins.podomatic.com. From Eric West from the Beat San Francisco, who said, I still love your show, but one thing I do miss is the ending with My Home Is Where My Heart Is by Erasure. Please bring that back. It is like the start of the show with the plane. It is a comfort thing, and I know what's in front of me. Talk to you later, Eric from the Beat San Francisco. And I said, thanks for all your support this year, Eric. As you know, I love your show, so I take note of what you say. And it is Christmas. The reason I don't play that anymore is because I'm a little bit unsure about the legality, PodSafe-wise. It's 30 seconds long, and normally I would consider 30 seconds to be within fair use. It's less than a typical iTunes sample, I believe. But it may not be. It's certainly not from the PodSafe Music Network or any of the other varieties. So that's really why I stopped doing it, because I didn't feel comfortable. However, this is Christmas, and I'm going to make an exception, and I'm going to play it at the end of today's episode, partly because it seems a fitting way to end out the year, because I have used it for most of the year. But that's the reason I don't play it anymore, and I know that some podcasters couldn't care less about things like that, and they just play music with reckless abandon. I generally don't. I've only generally used a small snippet of a song to illustrate what I was talking about or to set a mood, which is not necessarily terribly legal. It is fair to use it as part of criticism or discussion of that particular piece of music. But to play it, I don't know. Now, the only easy way around that I know of is to have some sort of license, and I'm not aware of any licensing regime that allows you to play ordinary commercial music on a podcast. However, Nigel used to have a low-power FM station here in New Zealand, and if he were to renew that, I mean, start it up again and get licensed for that as he used to be, then theoretically, if I actually recorded my show for the radio and then just released the internet version, I should be within the license to do that. But I don't know. It's a difficult one because I don't want to deliberately steal anything from anyone. That's certainly not what I'm doing. And I don't make even 1 cent from doing this podcast. I make nothing. No profit whatsoever. And that's actually not why I do it anyway. I'm not trying to monetize this in any way. It's in that sense, I suppose it's a hobby. No, it's a public service. That's what it is. But that's why I don't play that song anymore, and that's why I don't play copyrighted music generally, because it just, it's a questionable legality. But nevertheless, the thing that I play is only 30 seconds long. So maybe it does fall within the legality, I don't know. But also on the comments, from time to time I get comments from listeners through email. And I usually try to read at least a little bit of what they've said to me. But sometimes, for whatever reason, I don't... Well, actually, the reason is generally that I've forgotten, to be honest. But I've recently started corresponding with a listener named Scott from Australia, who's also one of Archer's listeners. And he sent me a fascinating email the other day about the White Australia policy, which I've mentioned in the past. And here's what he says. He says, yes, the White Australia policy was official. However, even it had its own out to keep out those nasty undesirables, like half-caste people, suspicious types, or even colored, in quotes, people who may have been coming from a white European country. The main way to keep out the non-white people, without saying that was the reason, was the language test that immigrants had to take. Obviously, in the main, it was an English test. This easily rooted out so many evil non-white foreigners like Asians, Africans, etc. However, if such an undesirable person spoke perfect English, well, fear not, they had thought of this. The language test was exactly that, a language test, not an English test. Therefore, the immigration officer could choose any language to test them in. Have a Chinese person who speaks great English? Give them a Dutch test. Have an Ugandan who has great English? Why not give them a Japanese test? What about a commie bastard from the USSR who is white? Just give them a Thai test to complete. Oh, and so you failed your language test? Oh, well, too bad, so sad. Bye-bye. Yep, that's what was done in this great country even up to 35 to 40 years ago. And Scott also wants me to point out that he does not hold or express those views or opinions, but he's worded them as they would have been thought at the time. And it's a fascinating approach. It's a way of making sure that you get the result you want without being too overt about it. Because, I mean, you can't really imagine a country explicitly saying only white people can come here, but there are plenty of ways around that. And it was actually the defeated Howard government was actually accused of going down the same route recently when they were proposing to institute tests on Australian culture and those kinds of things for new immigrants. However, it had never happened, but that was the suggestion, that they were just trying to stack it in such a way as to keep out non-white people or non-European people even. But we'll never know now because Howard's gone. But thanks for that, Scott, and thanks to everybody for the comments and feedback you've provided me. Those are all the comments that have come in since the last episode. Now, I'd like to move on toward the end of this particular episode. Of course, this is Christmas. It's not Thanksgiving. And it's also not the anniversary of my podcast. But it is my final podcast for 2007. So I want to make a few acknowledgments. There have been numerous podcasters who I've begun to get to know over the past year, especially Archer, Adam from This Boy Elroy, Eric West from The Beat San Francisco, Andrew of I Say, I Say, I Say, Big Fatty, Brian in Rochester, Calvin of Hello Waffles, Nick in Paris, Tim Carmel, Tom the Ramble Redhead, JT, Chef Mark, David B., Eric the Southern Boy, Lee from the Leeward Side, and plenty of others that I've probably forgotten to mention. It's been great to interact with them, and many of them have offered support, advice, or answered questions. And all of them also put out great podcasts that I listen to, and I've got links on my blog and a parade of podcasts. And yes, I did write down those names because I knew I wouldn't remember them all otherwise. but beyond that, I also have to thank the guests who've been on my podcast this year. It started with Adam, This Boy Elroy, and then went on to Archer and Yorkie, Dawn and Darren, Jason, Eric the Southern Boy, and Tim Carmel, Mark from Slap Upside the Head, and, of course, my own Nigel. You all have helped make my podcast far more interesting than it would have been otherwise. So thank you all very much, and obviously I'll be having more guests in the new year. Don't know who yet, but more guests. Oh, actually, some of them will be returns. But mostly, I want to thank each and every one of you who listens to my small efforts here in this podcast, especially those of you who've been with me from the beginning. But I also want to give special thanks to new listeners for giving me a try. Then, of course, there are the listeners who leave me comments on the blog or by email, and some of them I've already mentioned. But there's also Condo Blogger, Frank, Matt, Michael in Stuttgart, Nancy in Japan, Stevie B., and as well as fellow American expats Don, Nick, and Spikey. And thanks, too, to those of you who've taken the time to leave a 5-star review on iTunes. I really do appreciate it. I can't say that strongly enough. I greatly appreciate your taking the time to do that for me. But where would any podcaster be without the summaries of Mike Hipp from podcastsoup.net? I found a lot of interesting podcasts through him and his site, and I know that there are listeners who found me through him as well. So this year, I think, has had its ups and downs, but on the whole, it's been positive. I hope you've had a good year and that your new year will be great. I don't expect that I'm going to be recording again until into January. It'll be January 15th. But you never know, I might be able to post something before that. As I've told you, I'm hoping to record some audio while I'm overseas and either post it there or bring it back and put something together. But at this stage, it looks like my next episode won't be until January... January 15th. So, thanks for listening in 2007, and I look forward to talking with you some more in the new year. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a wonderful new year filled with love, happiness, and song. Thank you, everybody, and I'll talk to you in the new year. Bye. Yeah.